Welcome to another episode of Beyond Four Walls, and today we have the pleasure of hosting Joe Goss, and he is a, what are you, Joe, a block management specialist?
Yeah, I mean, I've been in and around the property world for 20 years,
wow.
And I have been working for Fixflow, and I finished being a block manager on Friday the 13th, March 20, and then I joined Fixflow on the 16th. It was lockdown one by the Wednesday.
Oh, wow. So is it your fault then?
It's all my fault.
I've been
supplier side for almost 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah, 10 years as a block manager.
So you studied housing and development at University of the West of England in Bristol?
I did, yeah. I finished there in 1999. I know I don't look old enough, but
absolutely
I am.
Absolutely not, no.
Thank you. I got into that through clearing. I'm not too proud to say that, but it was a really good move. It was fascinating. So I suppose that course was geared for people to end up working in social housing management,
yeah,
and be a housing officer. I think me as a young 21-year-old graduate in a Bristol, I think I'd have been eaten alive
if I'd
gone straight into that. So I ended up in recruitment for 8 or 9 years, bit of facilities management with Bristol City Council, moving staff around the city. And I fell into block management. Shout out to my old colleague, Adam. I was offered a job to join a well-known independent managing agent in Bristol. And I did my first 5-year stint with them.
Brilliant.
And what a ride it was.
Absolutely. So that started in 2010 and you finished in 2020.
Yeah, I had 5 years there. I had the carrot dangled. I went to join a developer. So I was kind of an in-house, outhouse block manager. So I was working with the sales director and the commercial director on service charge budget formation and managing a live portfolio. I survived 9 months, pretty much killed me first time.
Okay.
And then I had a break back in property recruitment. And then I went back into block management with that company for another 3.5 years. And I landed with Fixflow, like I said. So I haven't looked back since.
Oh, that's good. So we've spoken about this a few times, and we've spoken about, you know, the challenges around being a block manager and how you end up burning out and the stress that comes with that. What, if you're happy to talk about it, obviously, what made you leave the industry in terms of being a block manager?
Fair question. And I also want to focus on some positives, because it is an amazing job where you can make a huge difference. But I think it was just the sheer volume of communication demands that came at me, at us, mm-hmm. from all angles.
Yeah.
It was completely relentless. I remember being on the landline phone with my mobile phone ringing, with another phone wanting to be a call to be put through because there was a leak or someone was doing something inappropriate at one of the developments, which wasn't even for me to have to deal with, but it would still end up coming on your plate to triage.
Yeah.
You know, when it get to 100 emails a day, it was fully overwhelming, so that your fight or flight senses are fully triggered constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I probably wasn't as good then at managing those stress and those symptoms. And when I look back in it, and I've since read lots of guru books and things, and it's become a bit of a hobby of mine as well, I could have handled things better. But yeah, the overwhelming number of tasks and then the increasing safety burden.
Yeah, post-Grenfell.
With it.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I went back to being a block manager, it was 2017. So that was March, I think, Grenfell, May, June. And yeah, I'll never forget, I was visiting one of the blocks I managed. And one of the tenants said, oh, Joe, do you want to come in, sit down, have a cup of tea? It's like, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
everything has changed. It's now ramped up 10x.
It's so scary, isn't it? And I think you have so much responsibility on your shoulders. And whereas the government, to a certain extent, still don't give you, you know, this is exactly what you need to do. And it's just so much interpretation that you have to try and work through. And we're very lucky in our industry that we've got those specialists and very smart people, the IRPM and ARMA, who are helping us through. But, you know, as I've said before, I went through numerous burnouts and stress and ended up becoming really, really poorly. But have you got any techniques now that you use to manage your own stress levels, or that's something that you can pass on to the new property managers of the world?
I think having a sense of proportionality and being able to step back, zoom out and think, okay, this is that one issue, it is important for them, try and buy yourself a bit of time. Actually slow down and do things better. Don't rush through them. Mm-hmm. Because if you rush, you make mistakes. That's another symptom of that stress. You start to make errors. I think actually physical ways of dealing with that. Exercise, reframing, you know, being active, taking a break is more productive. You are better when you come back. I know it sounds a bit cliched and basic, but it is true.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there are people I've, books that I read by, I think Dr. Rangan Chatterjee is amazing. I think people like Jake Sampson and Damien Hughes with High Performance Podcast is also amazing. And there's lots of little takeaways. I think if you take a bit from established good advisors, you're going to be putting yourself on a more stable foundation to cope.
Yeah, definitely. I think I've spoken in a previous podcast about having that, you know, I just need to go out for a walk for 10 minutes just to clear my head, or I need to just go and make a cup of tea just to decompress from what's just happened. And because, you know, we get shouted at a lot, or the emails that come in that aren't very pleasant. Is it something that you think is more accepted in our current working world than it used to be, that you just need to decompress from that now?
I hope so. There are probably still some negative behaviours by some managers, I expect, whether it's to tell someone to man up or just get on with it. You actually need to delve behind, you know, are you all right? Ask twice, perhaps, because sometimes
are you really
like,
all right?
Are you really all right? No, I've got to prepare for this AGM, this director's meeting. I've just had an email about a really bad leak, and, you know, all the property managers I've worked with, they all really care about doing a good job. You know, you need to have that level of empathy in order to, not to be successful, to get your kind of your clients or customers buy-in. But I think people want to help people out in difficulties.
Definitely. And it's your version. You say successful, it's your version of success, isn't it? Because your version and my version could be completely different. How can we all help each other to get to that point?
Exactly. And I think, you know, I'm lucky now, and I'm still really close to the block management industry, which I really love. I keep up my CPD for my IRPM, and I think other advice, you know, check out the support pages that are available, you know, whether it's reasonable behavior policies or coping mechanisms, and just increasing your knowledge, you know, spend that time to become more competent, to know how to answer that question. But it's such a breadth of subject area to cover. It takes a long time. You know, 1-2 years, you're still scratching the surface. 3 years, 4 years, you're starting to be competent. I don't know what you think of that. 5-6 years, yeah, you start to get better. I remember there's a guy I worked with, and we said, every year we've done this, we get more knowledge and we're better at some things, but it actually becomes a bit scarier.
It's like the more you know, the worse it gets in a way. Sometimes they say knowledge is power, but not always.
Whether that's CDM regs or, you know, or how you procure or how you behave on site, you know, all those things. Which makes it so interesting, and every day is so different. And that's what I said, I want to focus on some of the positives. And for me, you know, I think I certainly didn't have the tools for the job. I was always thinking there's got to be a better way to do this. Yeah. One of the reasons I'm kind of sat on this side now, because gratuitous fixed flow pitch, but, you know, just getting jobs off your desk quickly, having an audit trail.
Yeah, I mean, I was about to say, you know, obviously moving into working with fixed flow, do you want to tell me a little bit about how fixed flow works and how it can help block managers to maybe manage their stress by having things automated or that sort of thing?
That's kind of you, Jodie. Thanks. Yeah, no, Fixed Flow is a cloud-based maintenance, repairs and compliance platform, and simply allows customers to digitally report an issue, whether it's from a web-based app on their mobile phone with a picture of the bin store and all the cardboard that's been strewn across the floor from the tenant in flat 23 who's just moved in and they don't know how to read the sign to fold up the cardboard, with the photos, for example, to quickly getting quotes off your desk to multiple contractors, where you only have to set the parameters once and tick boxes to say, you know, I want these quotes from this contractor, or just to go straight to instruct it quickly. You know, on a very basic level, it just saves so much time, minutes and minutes and minutes per transaction. So how jargony can we be? But PPMs, your planned preventative maintenance service events at a building, get those teed up in one place so that they start to automatically instruct. Once you've got it set up, if you know which contractor is going to go and do it, it will automatically instruct it to that contractor. So I don't forget, or I don't get left red-faced, has the latest fire assessment been complete? You know, when you sell a flat, one of your customers sells a flat, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think a sudden panic of, do I have all of this information? Yeah.
Yeah, your colleague passes you the LP1 form and goes, have you got this? Have the remedial actions been addressed? It's like, you know, and that starts to get the heart beating a little bit quicker again. You know what? I don't think I've done all of those actions. Why not? The phone rang, another email came in, something else was important. Yeah. Another colleague came in and was really upset about the way a customer spoke to them. So you've become a shoulder to cry on as well.
So in terms of the maintenance tasks sort of throughout your career, can you think of, or maybe share a a memorable experience of maybe good and bad, you know, something that maybe you could have used Fixflow for in the past, maybe, or, you know, just something that, you know, you're arranging thousands of reactive maintenance repairs throughout your day sometimes, or feels like it, you know, just something that could help our listeners.
Looking at the weather that we've been having recently with storms and the wet and the wind, it's not classic gutter clearance time, but you know, we had a favourite couple of contractors who would go and, you know, access people's flats and top floors to clear out secret gutters, or, you know, it'd be a cherry picker hire, but they wouldn't go and do the job until they'd been instructed it necessarily. That's reasonable, right?
Yeah.
But you're just so busy that you haven't done that physical transaction of writing that email to go and do it. And then, you know, the proverbial hits the fan and the storms happened and the secret gutter wasn't cleared. And it just so happens that some pigeon had crawled in and died in it and caused a huge flood into the flats below, for example. So, you know, ways. Get it set up once, automatically instructs. We've got a great case study as a success story now with a client who speaks about this automation really saving them a lot of time. So yeah, positive in that sense. My favorite memory is actually in block management. We're doing the big projects, the major works, the section 20s, taking a building, you know, they come onto you, they haven't been managed well, you start to work with them over a number of years, you accrue sufficient funds in the reserve fund, you know, you tender a contract. I was always quite hands-on, and after doing it for a while, I could, you know, put together, wouldn't always recommend it, you know, basic schedule of works for an external repairs and decorations, and, you know, managing all the trades, getting the scaffolder and the stonemason and the decorator, getting all those done, being on site, taking photographs of befores and afters.
Yeah.
You know, really, really powerful stuff, which is great proof of service for the customers. I like to think the clients in my portfolio were appreciative of it. You didn't get many thanks.
No, it is a bit thankless sometimes, isn't it? But I think certainly with major works and external decoration being one of them, there's a physical appearance change, isn't there? So, you know, you do get a lot of, it's aesthetic or more aesthetically pleasing than it was before. So that will trigger something in people that they will actually say thank you.
And it's a value add to the value of each of their flats. So collectively, it's in much better condition. I always used to say to my clients, if we were planning on budgeting, you'll always pay for it. You're either going to pay for it now and maintaining it properly, or you're going to pay for it when you come to sell and you get a much reduced price. So it just makes sense. And we just start to budget and re-educating, because a lot of people still don't understand what they've bought in leasehold world.
Maybe that's another podcast for another time, but you know,
how
leasehold actually works and everything. But you're a member of the ILPM. I mean, I think they're brilliant, to be fair, but, you know, benefited your career in professional development and everything, you know, the courses that they offer, the conferences. How do you think that's helped you in your career path?
Immeasurably. I think I remember when I went to a first ARMA conference. It's like, oh, wow, you know, first time you go to them and you meet other people doing the same job. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a weight's lifted off your shoulders a little bit.
Oh, it's not just me.
It's not just me. You're having the same challenges. Oh, good. It's not just me being a terrible property manager. Every block's got somebody who's more challenging than the rest of them, which make it a bit harder work perhaps than it should be. And then being plugged into some of the courses and the continuous professional development, which increased your knowledge. And then it made you want to do more. You know, you do your first exam and you get your AIRPM, and you do the next one and your MIRPM, and you kind of start to feel, it gives you a sense of pride as well.
It does give you a sense of pride. And I think it gives your clients and residents and contractors and everybody that you're surrounded with a sense of, you know, that you know what you're talking about because you have this qualification. So yeah, I think it's definitely worth being part of it. And of course they're doing apprenticeships now, so you know there are numerous ways of becoming qualified, which I think is great, because not everyone is a sit down do an exam type of person, are they?
You know? Learn by doing, don't you? I know I certainly do. And you know, it's like with building pathology, you only really understand it when you get onto that scaffold and you're on the third lift and you see how that wall's been taken apart to see how that cavity tray's failed, and that's why the inner skin of the wall was so wet, and that's why poor Mrs. Smith was complaining for months that the wall was damp. Just great to get into those courses. 100%.
Yeah, definitely. So in terms of your own professional development, do you feel like the supplier side is where you need to be? What I'm trying to say is do you miss block management?
Yeah, I do actually. I miss
in a strange way.
In a strange way, slightly sadistical.
Yeah, a little bit.
I think it's just there's so much change. It is so fast paced. Body and the brain almost gets hooked into that adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
maybe I'm just that type of person. I think, you know, I just want to do as many things as possible. I want to, you know, I've got the, so much energy, I'll take on the world. I can bring that block back to life.
Yeah, it does make you feel like that. You know, I've personally just taken on a development that I don't think anything's been done since the 70s. And it's quite
Oh, wow.
exciting to think that you're literally sorting it out from scratch in a way.
Yeah.
It's quite an exciting point.
Yeah, you get the handover and you go along and you look at this lovely listed building. And I used to manage lots of the kind of prestigious listed building conversions in Clifton and Redland and Cottam in Bristol. And you see, you know, bits of corbelling or dental course falling down, which you think, oh God, that might hit the postman. There's a liability issue or the fire risk assessment hasn't been done and let's get one done. And then you go, okay, we need to get a whole new installation here. You go into a basement and there are gaps everywhere. You just think, okay, that it's kind of, it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? You think, oh my God, I've got a lot to do. But it's going to be satisfying when I've done it.
And just making that plan, maybe it makes me sound really sad actually, thinking I
No,
just
it
gotta
just
have a
means
plan for everything.
it means you care, and
Yeah.
you want to prove that to your customer. And I think that's one of the things I struggled with, was having the time to collate the information and all the things that I had actually done. And that's one of the things that I kind of sell on in FixFlow, is it's easy to see what's outstanding, and what you've got to do.
Yeah.
Tag the project that's a major works, tag the stage it's at, you know, notice of intention for your Section 20 or statement of estimates, or, you know, when you hope to have it complete by. Going back to your question, I'm definitely happier supplier side now, but I wouldn't be able to do what I do now if I hadn't have done the hard yards, I don't think.
Yeah, I think, you know, I say that quite a lot, that you've kind of got to learn the trade and learn how to navigate everything before you can provide that service to help other property managers, if that makes sense.
I kind of see myself as I'm a block manager before I'm a salesperson, right?
Yeah.
And I'd always trade on authenticity and empathy for what the teams are going through on a day-to-day basis. I mean, it's been more interesting talking to lots of kind of chief suite officers and finance directors and understanding, you know, where their pain points are and where they're coming from. I still get that exposure to property managers who want to see what the system can do and how it will help them before they go and talk to their boss, for example. Or then
Yeah.
you get invited to an office and you get a room full of people who are all really engaged, and that's really gratifying. And I like to think I can make some of these day-to-day challenges come alive
Yeah.
with demo time.
That makes sense. But you say how FixFlow can automate everything, or as much or as little as you want it to be fair. But how do you get that? I suppose it's quite a delicate balance between efficiency in terms of the automation, but still giving that personalised service. So I'm, as an example, I'm terrible for it's kind of all in my head, which
Yeah.
makes things a lot more difficult. But at the same time, I feel like I can also give that personal service because I remember what we discussed. A computer couldn't necessarily do that for me because I remember the pain points of the people, if you see what I mean. Pain
Yeah.
points of, you know, and emotionally why they get affected by X, Y, and Z, or why Mrs. Smith would be upset about one thing, but Mr. Smith wouldn't care. You know, I remember all of that, if you see what I mean. So, how do you get that delicate balance between the two?
I think it's a really good question, and it is one that I get quite a lot. You know, some people say, oh, I don't even want to look at it because I like the old-fashioned personal touch.
Yeah.
And I think it's not just FixFlow, other softwares, and where there is an automation, it's letting the computers do what they do best and people do what they do best. So you actually, if you can get quotes more quickly or instruct works more quickly, or you can set up your statutory and regulatory critical service event work, if that automates and instructs, that's time that you get back to then spend that time talking to your customers or going out to site and meeting them, making the notes in there. And I was thinking, going back to burnout, and we've both experienced that, it actually, if more of the stuff that you've got to deal with, you know, we're talking, you're spinning hundreds of plates, right? There's so many issues. If you've got a portfolio of what, I think I had, what, 30, 40, 40 odd buildings and all the leaseholders in them and all their tasks. If I might make a copy, a log on a spreadsheet, or it's in there, or it's on the yellow notes on my monitor, even worse, because you're going to lose it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
make, make,
Don't open the window.
make make the note in the system. Exactly, Jodie. Yeah,
Yeah.
make the note in the system, and then it's there. So then you don't have that almost that mental burden. Yeah, we remember it, and it sounds like well, maybe our brains are wired up in a similar-ish kind of way. You know, you have that empathy, and you want to care and demonstrate that. But actually, the more full your brain gets with that emotional stuff, the harder it becomes for you to function and actually deliver.
Yeah, no, I completely get it.
Because you get the haze comes down, you've got too much, you're too empathetic, probably, or I think I was, and therefore it would affect me more. Ah, then you can't see the wood for the trees.
Yeah.
So I think you use the system that suits you in the best way possible.
Yeah, it's good that you can alter it, or you can build it for your particular business, rather than this is how, I mean, I've worked with systems before, and it's you try and get an understanding of it. You go to these training courses and they say, well, this is how it works. And well, what my, this particular client wants it done this way, but this particular client wants it done not necessarily the complete opposite, but they would like an extra tab or an extra notes bit or something like that. And you know, I certainly find with fixed flow that it's quite simple to do it per block, if you see what I mean, or whatever the client wants, you can kind of shimmy it around a bit. Rather than, this is what it does and that's it, tough luck.
make it work for you, like I say. And I've got customers who don't even want to promote the digital reporting to their customers because they want to go back to that old-fashioned touch. They want to phone them back and they want to create it on their behalf straight away. Mm. And they want to do all that work themselves. Well, that's fine. I respect that. And there are some people who say, we won't deal with it unless it's reported digitally through the system, because yeah. it will help me manage it in a more efficient way. Those are the two extremes. Mm. But I think everything is valid on how that person wants to run their business.
Yeah, and it's trying to meet in the middle for the client as well, isn't it? Because, you know, at Fraser Allen, we have a range of clients from people in their 90s to people who are 19. And the 19-year-olds obviously want to do everything off of an app and everything on a phone, and that's it. And that's, you know, they don't know how to do anything else. Whereas the elderly generation, they prefer to ring you up or for you to pop round and have a cup of tea. Not that you could do that with everyone, but, you know.
Not that you can do that with everyone, but that is also invaluable. You know, that, and you know, if there's perhaps a more vulnerable customer, and that cup of tea in the flat, it's a good way to have a calm, rational meeting about what's going on. I'm glad you said 90s, because there are lots of people in their 80s who are pretty hot on an iPad these days.
So. Oh, absolutely. Do you know, I always go back, there's a particular lady that I used to work with. She's unfortunately passed away now, but, you know, I loved her. She was amazing. And she said, oh, I don't do this, you know, email nonsense. And she just wanted to be able to talk to you on the phone, or for you to, when you're next doing an inspection, please come and see me. And that sort of thing. And, you know, if I had turned around and said to her, you've got to report everything through our portal, no way that would have happened. And I think you've got to have that balance, haven't you?
And she'd tell her friends, and then you'd end up with, you know, it's going to be an awkward garden party or something. You know?
But she was so lovely as well. You know, I would have done anything for her, to be fair. So, but in terms of the future of maintenance processing, I suppose, do you think that doing everything from a digital perspective is the way, 100% the way forward? Or, you know, as we've just discussed, is there always going to be that balance? Or do you think more agents are going to just be completely digital, everything through the portal, no customer interaction? How do you think that's going to progress over the next, say, 5 years?
I think there'll continue to be a complete mix. And I think that some people will push back on digital, some people will embrace it, some companies might mandate it. But I think there's got to be flexibility. That's why we have a portal where customers have a front-end piece to report issues, and we have a tab called Create Issue on behalf of, because it's for that very reason. You know, I'm going to speak to them, I'm going to log it on their behalf, but I need to have it in the system for me, because I need to see how many issues I'm dealing with, or I'm a team leader and I want to see how many tasks each of my property managers have got to deal with. Because if I can see that, it means I can manage it. If I can't see it, I can't manage it. I can't spot problems arising in someone in my team because they've got less experience. I can't help them. You know, I want to get that information into the system. And if I'm a director, I want to know, actually, do I need to make another staff hire? The stats say we're not that busy, but my staff tell me they are. Well, if they get everything into a system, then they can actually see the numbers.
Yeah, make it more tangible then, can't you?
Jody's got 126 tasks that are currently open, and Joe's got 30. Well, is that because Jody's portfolio is much harder? Maybe it is.
Yes, so, it is.
There we go. I can make you feel better.
Thanks. Thanks. So is there anything else you'd like to share today. You're done with this conversation.
This is a great chat, Jodie, and I always enjoy talking to you.
Oh, thanks.
And I've got, you know, I know other people in the industry who like your content that you put out on LinkedIn and find it inspiring. So I'll say that because it's true. I'll say hang in there, everybody, especially when we've had, was it Storm Isha?
Oh gosh, yeah.
And the rain, I'll never forget. Had a toddler, a loft conversion, and loads of projects and customers getting mad. It's probably one of the most stressful moments of my life, but hang in there, read some good books, take a step back, keep active,
and don't panic too much every time a storm comes, because you've got the systems in place to deal with it.
And it's an act of God. Is that the best excuse? Do the customers tolerate that? It was an act of God. I'm sorry your chimney pot fell off and crashed through the roof. No, doesn't wash, does it? You should have done your plan preventative maintenance. You should have got a drone survey. You could have seen that it was wobbly.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing though, isn't it?
Well, I had a surveyor who always said, I'd never want to focus on the coulda, woulda, shoulda. Focus on what you can focus on. Be organised. Yeah, keep track of what you're doing. Look at those great systems out there to help you manage your workload and keep you sane. Definitely win back some time.
Well, thank you so much. How can everybody find you if they want to?
I'm on LinkedIn, Joe with an E, and Goss, G-O-S-S, sugar, sugar. My email address is joe.goss@fixflow.com. So really easy to find. Probably Google me. God knows what you'll find.
All great things, I'm sure.
It would be great to hear from anyone listening to this who wants to explore either what we have to offer, or if they just want to private message me on some of the things we've spoken about. Always happy to lend an ear, because it is really hard.
That's great, Joe. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Take care. Appreciate it.